Head Start is a weekly podcast to help Liberty's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. This week, we will introduce a new four-week sermon series titled Heroes.
Heroes!
Yes, that's exactly right. And yes, you do recognize that voice.
Yeah, you do.
That's our long-lost buddy, Brian Alderman.
The comeback tour.
Whoop, whoop! So before we step into this conversation and before we even introduce this new sermon series, we have a special guest with us today.
He is a very special guest.
In so many ways.
Yes.
And so the one and only Jeffrey Gross.
Jeff Gross.
Yep, that's me. Yes.
Bear.
The Bear, yes. It'd be interesting to understand where Bear came from. Maybe another episode.
That's a good idea. Yes. Yeah, we'll bring him back on week. Right there. Yeah. Now, Bear's not... He's not really like he's a special guest because this time he's in front of the microphone. Bear is always around during the podcast because he's the one who gets all of our tech set up and makes sure that we don't break anything on our way to recording.
He's delivered a fan in here during a recording.
And, true. So he has been around, but today it's different because he's got a mic in his hands, and that's rare.
Jeff is here to answer a question as we think about heroes, because that's the new sermon series. Jeff, would you share with the listening audience a hero? Maybe let's go with two different heroes, and let's go with, like, you know, the heroes that are on the TV screen or in the comic book.
Mm.
As you think about
fictional heroes,
which one comes to your mind and you're like, this is the best of all time?
I'm going with Iron Man.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Tony Stark.
Yeah, he's got the technology.
Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Technology guy.
Yes, okay. Yes.
He's got all the toys.
It's pretty good. Those movies are so well done, too. I mean, I feel like that's what really kicked off the whole thing. I mean, you know, the Marvel Comic Universe could have gone so many different ways on screen, but having Iron Man 1 to lead off
was... He built his first suit in a cave.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah. It's pretty impressive. Where does Captain America, where does he fall in the you know, being best or not the best, or where does he fit in there? Is he anywhere near Iron Man?
Careful.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, I would think so. But he'd probably be third on my list. I'd go Thor, then Iron Man.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know who's conspicuously missing from this list that Jeff has given us thus far?
Okay, yeah.
Any DC superhero.
Those aren't real.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Those aren't even real people.
Yeah, that's it.
That's so way down.
Mm.
Yeah.
Far down the list.
I like your top three. It's hard to
argue. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who can pick up a hammer that no one else can pick up.
Well,
except
for Captain America. Right, that's it.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, good stuff.
And Vision.
Yep, true. He's a cheater. He's different.
So, there's that.
Beyond the fictional, though,
yes,
probably a great idea for us to also hear from Jeff, maybe a real-life hero, somebody that you consider a hero of the faith or something in that regard.
Well, real-life hero, I can't really remember his name. But he was my Sunday school teacher, and I was about six. And he actually learned to read from reading the Bible.
Wow.
So he was not a very good reader, and he was very self-conscious about his ability. But he poured into our class and left a lasting impression there.
That's cool. That's cool.
That is really cool.
I have a similar story. You guys know my story. I didn't grow up going to church, but as a high school junior, started going. I came to know Christ, and there's a guy named Mike Heal. He was in the Air Force, stationed in Montgomery. We lived in Prattville, and he taught these high school boys.
Mm.
And I don't remember a whole lot about Mike, but I know that he loved Jesus and he loved us boys. And he cared for us, and if I needed him at any time, he was always available. So,
I go even one before that, or a little bit before that. So, Mr. Gilbert and Mr. Porter, I do remember their names. Third grade boys Sunday school teachers while I was growing up, and they just did it every year. They stuck with that third grade class, and it was a marker for every single boy who came through their group. It was a marker of those two guys who loved Jesus and loved young boys and wanted to help shepherd them to follow the Lord. So that's pretty cool.
That's super cool. Yeah. Jeffrey, thank you so much for sharing with us some heroes in your life, both fictional and, well, real.
No problem. Now I don't have to talk the rest of the day.
That's it. Yep.
All my words.
The yes, word quota is fulfilled. Well, I tell you what, I don't run out of words very frequently. And so I will dive in at this time to just kind of an explanation of the Heroes of the Faith sermon series. This is one that we are now actually doing for the third time. So we started this series in 2022 and kicked it off. And then we did it again last year in 2023. And we wanted to return to it again this year in 2024. We believe that it is a powerful series, and it's just a great way to spend one of our summer months looking at a few of these characters. Some of them come directly from God's Word. And we'll do the same thing this year. We'll open up with a character who comes out of God's Word. But then others are outside of the Bible. And so the way that we as a teaching team have navigated this is we'll pick a passage that pertains to the life of these individuals, and then we'll preach on that passage during the given week. So I want to just real quick step back in time and remind you of those that we've covered so far. The first year that we did this series, we hit the characters of Abel. We did Noah, but only in groups. We didn't preach on him. Joseph and Esther from the Bible, and then we stepped outside of the Bible and covered the life of Lottie Moon and Jim Elliot. Last year we picked up with Jim Elliot and covered his wife's life, Elizabeth Elliot.
Elizabeth, and it's spelled differently.
It is. It's an S instead of a Z. That's right. We talked about John the Baptist, Mary, Elijah, and then I do think we actually ended up covering Noah again that year. And so this year we're going to pick up just 4 weeks that we'll spend covering Heroes of the Faith. We're going to begin on July the 7th with the life of Peter, the apostle. And so we'll talk more about Peter in just a moment here. The three characters, other characters that we'll do come to us from outside of God's Word. We'll talk about William Tyndale, famous translator of the Bible and a martyr for the faith.
Yes.
We're going to talk about a lady named Catherine Ferguson, who probably one of the least known characters that that we've ever done in this series, but Catherine founded a Sunday school in New York City and devoted her life to serving.
If I'm correct,
well,
here,
right,
the first,
yep,
in the United States.
Yes,
it was in New York.
So. Yep, and devoted her life to serving underprivileged kids. And then on the 28th, we'll wrap up the series with Martha Myers, a famous Alabama Baptist missionary, who, if I'm not mistaken, has actually been to Liberty Baptist Church. She spoke at Liberty at a given time. So I think that was before any of our time, the current staff that's here, but it wasn't that far.
So it's the Myers Mallory Missions offering that
yes.
is now taken in the name of Myers and obviously
Myers and Mallory.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. But that's exactly right. So
speaking of heroes, Captain Obvious.
He is one of my favorite too. I regularly hear from Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
But yeah, so really looking forward to walking through this series. And I will say one more thing. The reason that I'm jumping back onto the podcast is because at this time, the replant is jumping back into the sermon series that Liberty is doing. So we'll be preaching the same content and studying the same content that you guys are, and really looking forward to doing that. The only reason we stepped away is because you guys were in the middle of Ecclesiastes, and we didn't know that that would be the best place to launch a new church, you know. So for our first 5 weeks, we studied from the book of Acts.
Meaningless.
Yeah, everything is meaningless. But I know that was a great series too. So looking forward to this one. I'm going to actually turn it back over to Matt at this point. He's going to ask our question that we want to highlight even before I begin looking at the passage for us.
So we'll be, not only is this podcast for Liberties, and maybe we should change the opening here.
I think we definitely should. Yeah.
Not just for Liberties Adult and Student Ministry Life Group Leaders, but also for Southside's Adult and Student Ministry Life Group Leaders. And so we need to make that adjustment. So I think that as a culture, we are almost magnetically drawn to heroes.
Mm, true.
Like we look for them, we long for them. I think it's a good reason why maybe some of these movies the are so popular and have such a great following. So let's think about what draws people to heroes. What is it that draws people to hear? Well, and what does it take for a person to be heralded as a hero, right? And so be careful who you list as a hero.
Yeah.
Because the things that they're doing, the way that they're living their life, does that lead you to or away from your own walk with Christ? So, and I think also as we think about a hero, what can we learn from them? Mm-hmm. What can we learn from their lives, the way that they live? And not only what can we learn from them, but then what can we apply to our own lives? And so I think it's so important when we start a message that you're preaching from the platform or you're starting a lesson in a small group to be able to open a conversation and to start people's mind thinking in the direction of where you're going, right?
Yep, that's right.
And so I think these questions on the front end, the introduction questions, are so great.
Yeah.
And can be so powerful to get those in your group to be thinking in this direction. And I believe that you're likely you can have some spirited even conversation about Marvel versus DC, and you could go all sorts of places. Like today, this morning early, I was taking Tanya for a doctor's visit, and I saw a yellow Camaro with Transformers.
Bumblebee. Yes, sir. How about that?
So which hero franchise is your favorite? So that's one of the questions. There's a triad of questions here.
So that's like Marvel, DC. I mean, I guess you could lump Transformers in there at some point. I'm sure there are other categories that we're not thinking of. But
you start that conversation. Uh-huh. I'm certain, you know, depending on the group, that there can be spirited conversations.
Yes, most definitely.
And so which franchise is your favorite? Who is a real person that you consider a hero?
Does Bible Man count as a real person?
It must be, yes.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. What was that? Oh, I can't even go there now.
Sorry.
Who is a real person that you consider a hero? And that's a great question to push around the room. We sort of started that here, and we pushed a couple names without any thought. Mm-hmm. It was so easy to get there. And then what are some characteristics that make a person hero?
Yeah, it's good.
That would be cool to create a list of characteristics of what makes a person a hero. And then maybe as a group cumulatively, hey, are we living those characteristics? Just a thought. All right, so our passage for today is John 21, verses 15 through 19. Oh, Peter, he's gonna get a question to ask three times.
Yes.
So let's dig into this passage.
It's a really beautiful passage. They all are. I know I say that every time I'm on here, but this has long been one of my favorites. I love the Gospel of John. It's my favorite book in the Bible, certainly in the New Testament. And so this is just great stuff that we get to study together. As far as like the layers of complication of the passage, there's really not much to it. Like it's pretty straightforward narrative. But there are some things that our English Bibles hide, not intentionally, and so we'll talk a little bit about those things. I'm not going to give you conclusions. I want to encourage you to study, come to your own conclusions, and have good discussion about these things, but I think the passage lends itself to that. What we'll do as we preach through this series is we will give you kind of just a biographical sketch of the life of this person as best as we can tell. Now, that's, of course, much harder to do with the characters that we draw from the Bible, because most of the information we have on those characters is from the Bible. And the Bible doesn't write history, you know, always like we would prefer that it to, with a birth date and a death date, and here's what happened in the middle. But we'll draw it as much as we can. And so I'll do that a little bit at the end for the life of Peter, just so that you guys have that and you're ready to navigate that in your group. But before we get there, let me tell you about this specific passage at hand. The context is that we are on the right side of the resurrection, right? Jesus has been crucified. His disciples were scattered. The night before, of course, he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter rose up to strike he struck the ear, but nobody goes for an ear strike. Like, clearly he was trying to cut the guy's head off and missed and hit his ear. And
sure, it wasn't just a surgical action.
Yeah, that's right.
Just that good.
Ching, ching, ching. Yeah. No, I don't think so. And so Peter has risen up. He's tried to defend Jesus. Because remember, Jesus told all the disciples, like, you're all going to scatter away from me. And Peter's like, even if I have to die, I'm not going to scatter. I won't run away from you in your moment of need. And then Jesus looks at him and says, well, hey, here's actually, it gets worse for you, Peter. Not only are you going to scatter like the rest of the disciples, you're actually going to deny that you even know who I am three times before the rooster crows. And as it plays out, that's exactly what happens. Peter does rise up to defend Jesus in that moment, but Jesus rebukes him and shuts him down. Peter follows at a distance as Jesus is taken into the courtyard of the high priest where he's put on trial. And as he's there, he's recognized three times. And they say, this man was with him. He was one of the disciples. And Peter denies that he even knew Jesus three times in a row. And it's important to note that all four Gospels tell that story. That's not always the case. When that happens, that means it's a really significant story. One of the Gospels actually records that when the rooster crowed, Jesus turned and looked at Peter.
Can you imagine that?
the weight of conviction, yes, and guilt. Now, Peter had two options at that point. He could have hardened his heart toward the conviction of the Holy Spirit that had come his way through the look of Jesus, or he could recognize, oh my gosh, Jesus was right, I was wrong, and I blew it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
The Bible says that he went outside and he wept bitterly. Of course, they proceed with the crucifixion of Jesus. Peter sits under the weight of that guilt Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then some women come to the room where the disciples are on Sunday morning. They knock on the door. They say, we can't find the body. We marked the tomb. We knew where it was. We went there this morning. The stone's rolled away. There's nobody in there. We don't know what happens. And so Peter and John go off running. Yep. And the Bible tells us, the gospel written by John informs us that John was faster than Peter.
Sure he was.
And so he beats him to the tomb, but John is afraid to go into the tomb. Peter is not.
He gets to the going, eh.
Yeah, hits the brakes, peeks in with just his eyes and his head. Peter runs straight into the tomb, and he marvels at the fact that Jesus is no longer there. So now in John 20, a couple of appearances have happened where Jesus has shown himself to his disciples. He's allowed them to put their fingers in the nail holes in his hands and feet, even to take their hands and put them into where the spear went into him during the crucifixion. And now this time in John 21, he's appeared for the third time. The disciples were out fishing. That was Peter's idea. And Jesus appeared on the beach and said, have you caught any fish? And they said, no. So he says, throw the net on the other side of the boat, which is one of the greatest, just wisdom exercises in fishing history.
Sure.
And of course,
sure,
they make this miraculous catch. And it's at that time that John says, it's the Lord. And so Peter jumps into the water. He goes swimming to the shore. And there's Jesus cooking fish breakfast on the beach. And he prepares it for them. They eat together. And John 21:14 records that this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now we enter our passage. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus asks Simon Peter, and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, you don't get this right away, but it's important to note that Jesus has actually pulled Peter aside. It seems like maybe they're going for a walk. So the other 11 or the other, 10 disciples are not around at this time. John is following them at a distance, and the rest are probably just still back there eating more fish.
Sure.
So Jesus and Simon Peter are alone, and Jesus asks him using his old name, not the new name that he's given Peter, but he says using his old name, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? This is going to happen three times, and I mentioned something that our English Bibles cover over. We have one good word for love in English, and it's love. In Greek, they had a couple of different words for it. We don't want to press this distinction too far. The more I study this, the more people, the more scholars kind of want us to calm down about the two different words, agape and phileo. Typically, we think of agape as like that limitless covenant love of God that knows no bounds and it's unending and all that kind of thing. We think of phileo as more of like a friendship love that two brothers would have for each other or two close friends would have for each other. But people who study these languages don't really want us to press that as much. They are more interchangeable than we think they are. Nevertheless, John, the gospel writer, is clearly doing something here. When Jesus asks Peter, do you love me more than these? He asks him two out of the three times, do you agape me more than these, right? More than the other disciples do. Do you love me? Peter, is your love for me greater than the love that the rest of the disciples have for me? Because Peter was, he was ready to say that on, you know, Thursday night before Jesus was arrested.
Sure.
But now he's not so sure. And so Jesus asks him that question. Peter responds and answers and says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, right? But he uses that word phileo. You know that I have that affection, that brotherly friendship, love for you. It's almost like he's not quite ready to say, I love you as much as I should.
Sure.
Because he knows that he's blown it.
Gotcha. Yep.
And so Jesus responds to him and says, feed my lambs, right? Notice that Jesus is taking Peter's attention off of the preservation of his own life and putting it on the pastoral ministry that he's going to exercise in the lives of other people. Peter was afraid to lose his life that night in the high priest's courtyard. That's why he denied knowing Jesus. You know, Jesus is on trial. He can hear the murmurs of crucify, crucify. And he's like, man, I don't want that. So no, I don't know who the guy is. Never met him.
Yep.
Jesus is lifting his attention from himself and the preservation of his life and saying, I want you to focus on my lambs, focus on my people, focus on my sheep. This happens three times. The second time, it's pretty similar. Jesus says to Peter again, do you love agape, me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love phileo, you. And Jesus tells him this time to shepherd my sheep. That word for shepherd, by the way, is the one that we use for pastor, poimenos. He's telling him, I want you to be the pastor of my people, right? Shepherd them as they follow me.
The ESV reads, tend to my sheep.
Tend to my sheep. Yep. It's a shepherding word.
Yep.
The last time that Jesus asks him, the word that John uses changes. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love phileo, me? And this time there's grief, right? Just like when that rooster crowed and Jesus looked at him, Peter went outside, he wept bitterly. There was that grief then. Well, the grief comes crashing back now. It says that he was deeply grieved, and he says, not just, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, Lord, you know all things. You know everything. You see straight through me. You see my motives. You see my heart. You know that I love phileo, you.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, feed my sheep. One more time. So I think it's important to understand that whatever John is doing with these two words, which again are more interchangeable than we want to think they are, Jesus accommodates where Peter's at in this moment. And he doesn't say, okay, fine, I'm not asking you, do you love me with the same love that I have for you yet? We're going to get there. Do you love me like I know you love me? And Peter says, yes, you know, Lord, that I love you. So it's this really beautiful moment where he just gets to have this intimacy with his Savior. He denied him three times. Jesus restores him by asking these questions three times. But then in verse 18, we take a hard pivot.
Yeah, it does.
Jesus, having removed Peter's attention from the preservation of his own life to the pastoring of Jesus's people, is now going to tell him, as you focus on pastoring my people and not preserving my own life, I got bad news for you, buddy. Here's what's coming. He says, truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you would tie your own belt and you would walk around wherever you wanted to go. But when you grow old, someone is going to stretch out your hands. Someone else is going to tie you and carry you to where you do not want to go. What he's doing, verse 19 tells us, he said this to indicate what kind of death Peter would glorify God. And tradition tells us, and I'll share this again in a moment, that Peter was crucified, and that as he was going to the cross, his request was that he was not worthy to die in the same manner that his Savior died. And so he requested to be crucified upside down. And that was how he glorified the Lord through his death. So it's like this moment where, again, Jesus releases his attention from saving his own life and tells him, hey, it's going to get ugly for you, Peter. But the call that happens at the end of verse 19 is exactly what it was all the way back at the beginning of the Gospel of John and the other Gospels. He looks at him one last time and he says, follow me. Peter, here's what matters. Don't worry about your life. I've got that. Don't worry about your money. I've got that. Don't worry about your lack of education, your lack of resources, your lack of power. I've got that. As for you, follow me. And that's really the simplicity that we see throughout Peter's life for the remainder of it. Pretty incredible passage. Encourage you to hold on to it and study it closely as it comes up. So let me real quick just give you a very brief kind of sketch of what we know about Peter. He was born to a fisherman, John or Jonah, in Galilee. We know that he certainly had a mom and a dad. His dad was still living by the time he entered into Jesus' ministry. They were on the boat fishing together when Jesus called him. And we know that Peter had at least one brother, Andrew. As with most Jewish boys during this time period, Peter would have begun his life with a little bit of religious education. He would have studied the instruction of God that was given through Moses, what they called the Torah, while he was growing up. At a certain point, Peter would have been tested for promise see if he had what it took to become one day maybe a rabbi, a teacher, or a Pharisee, or an interpreter, or a scribe, something to that end. Yep. And Peter would have failed that test. He didn't make the cut.
Hence the reason he was fishing.
That's exactly right. So boys who didn't make the cut went back to their father's household. They apprenticed underneath their father, and then they took up the family job, which is what Jesus found Peter doing. We do know that Peter was married. We don't hear a whole lot about their relationship. In fact, we don't hear anything about their relationship. His wife is never mentioned, but his mother-in-law is mentioned as she was sick at one point, and during the ministry of Jesus, Jesus went to their house, and he healed her from her fever, or her illness that she had. Matthew 8 records that story. We don't know a ton about how long or how old Peter was when the momentous occasion in his life came. But one day he was fishing on the boat with his brother and his dad. Now, his brother had already been a disciple of John the Baptist.
Yep.
And one day John the Baptist pointed to Jesus and said, "Look, there's the one that I've been telling you about." So Andrew leaves John the Baptist, goes and follows Jesus. And then once he understands that this is the guy, this is the one, Andrew goes and he finds his brother Peter and introduces him to Jesus.
Hey, you need to come meet this guy.
That's it. Found the one. Now, Jesus does not formally call the two to follow him at that moment, but he does. That is when the name change is recorded. John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, Jesus looks at him and says, "You're Simon, but I tell you that you're Peter," Petra, rock. You're Rocky, basically. And of course, from the other gospel stories, we know that Jesus finished that out by saying, "On this rock, I will build my church." Right now, he's talking about the confession of faith that Peter voices, but gives him the name Rocky because he's the first one to articulate it. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 records the day that Jesus was on the beach, saw the two boys, Peter and Andrew, fishing with their father, Jonah or John, and he said, "Come follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men." Yep. And from that moment, everything changes. Peter spends 3 years following Jesus. We know from the gospel records that Peter is the shoot first and ask questions later kind of guy among the disciples.
The guy that jumps out of the boat and will swim, cuts an ear off.
That's it.
The first one into the cave, yes.
Yep, always the outspoken one, which again, Mark chapter 16, verses 13 through 16 records that story of Jesus asking the disciples, "Who do other people say that I am?" And so they say, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist reincarnate, others say all sorts of things. And Jesus then says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" to the disciples. Peter speaks up and he says, "You are the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the one that we've been waiting for, the Son of the living God." And Jesus tells him, "Blessed are you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but the Spirit did." And so he reaffirms his name change to Rocky or Peter. And just a few moments later, he gets called Satan. "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter was not thinking about God's concerns, but man's concerns. He is a little quick to use that tongue sometimes when he shouldn't. There's this incredible moment in Matthew 17 where Jesus is transfigured and Peter, James, and John get a glimpse of his true glory. And I mean, what would you say, if you're in that moment, holy cow, there he is. And Moses is there and Elijah is there. And Peter's like, "I got an idea.
we can build you guys tents. Yes, he says, okay. It's really good that we are here. Mm. Peter, no, it's not. It's really good that Moses is here that, you know, Elijah is here and that Jesus is here. But anyway, he puts his foot in his mouth more than once throughout the Gospels. I love the story in Matthew 14, 22 through 33. Jesus is walking on the water out to his disciples on the boat. Yep. The disciples freak out because they think it's a ghost.
Well, wouldn't you?
I would.
Yes.
But my favorite part of the story is that the ghost, potential ghost, which is Jesus, says, no, it's not a ghost. It's me. Yeah. And Peter says, prove it.
Yeah.
If it's you, let me get out of the boat and walk on the water just like you're doing.
Sure, yes.
Well, if you're a ghost at that point, and this guy just told you to prove it, you know, by letting me walk on the water, what are you going to say? Yeah. Come on, buddy.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Let's have us an entertaining evening on the water. Peter would get out of the boat, he'd sink straight to the bottom, and the ghost would walk away laughing.
Yes.
So it's not a very good test that he comes up with, but nevertheless, he was right to put Jesus, or to place his faith in Jesus in that moment. He gets out of the boat, and the water becomes solid as a sidewalk, and he walks. Mm-hmm. Loses his focus, looks at the wind and the waves, sinks. But again, there's this beautiful moment that he gets to have with Jesus when he cries out, Lord, save me. Jesus grabs him by the hand, pulls him up, and says, hey, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt?
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah,
you're not going anywhere. And so far as we know in the world, there are only two who have walked on water, Jesus and Peter.
There it is.
I mentioned the story where he cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear, a little earlier, and then, of course, I mentioned the story of his betrayal. Now, after Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father, Peter becomes the leader of the new Christian movement, the Way, the Church. He preaches a sermon at Pentecost, and then the early chapters of Acts kind of record a cyclical tour that Peter goes on where he heals or preaches. It stirs up a crowd. He gets arrested and then miraculously gets delivered from jail or released from jail, and it repeats over and over again. Read Acts 3 and 4, Acts 5, and then Acts chapter 12 where this happens. He is the first one to initiate the mission to the Gentiles. So going outside of the Jewish population in Acts chapter 10.
Unheard of.
I know, yeah. When he has a vision, goes to Cornelius's house, preaches to them. They receive the gospel and the Holy Spirit. And then later on, when controversy is brewing because the Gentiles are coming to faith and they're not being taught to be circumcised or follow the Mosaic law, Peter defends their salvation in Acts chapter 15, apart from these things. We know that Peter wrote two books that are in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter. Those would be good to get your eyes on before you teach. And then, as I mentioned again earlier, the tradition holds that Peter was executed at the hands of the Romans, just like Jesus was, but he was crucified upside down to avoid being put to death in the same way that his Savior was. We know now that Peter is part of that great cloud of witnesses from where he watches down and cheers us on, encouraging us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So truly an incredible hero of the faith and someone that I hope you guys are excited to study about.
That's great. Yeah, and no doubt a hero of the faith, someone that as believers we can emulate. And thinking about that, as students, a student who lives changed, as we think about a measure moment, a student who lives changed will choose wisely the examples that they follow, right? Our culture says this person's a hero without actually evaluating the lifestyle or character that they possess.
Right.
And just step into it. But a student who's going to live changed is going to go, wait, let me evaluate their fruit. Mm. Let me evaluate this person who's most important in their life. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard many times, and I've probably said once or twice, you're the average of the five people that you spend most of your time with.
Yeah, that's right.
Think about that. Mm. Who are we spending our time with? And be careful, because a student who's living changed, who's growing as a disciple, is going to be careful who they allow to influence them. I think that's a really great way to think of and to look at that measures moment and to connect with the folks in your group living changed as a student. So
good stuff.
All right.
Yeah. So at the end of your discussion for the day, make sure and hit the live it out points, the application points for the week. And man, they are good questions this week. Number one, is there anything in your past that you have allowed to hinder you from following Jesus today? The curriculum calls you to confess that and accept the forgiveness and restoration that Jesus offers you in love. Mm. Listen, if anybody blew it to a nearly unforgivable degree, Peter blew it to a nearly unforgivable degree. Yeah. And so what we see in this passage is that magnificent love of the Lord Jesus that can restore somebody who even, I mean, he just did everything wrong. Like, you know, totally abandoned the faith, we would say, turned his back on Jesus in his time of need, lied about it, you know, but Peter repented. He found forgiveness, and not just forgiveness, but full restoration into the gospel ministry. So know that and confess and accept just like Peter did. Number two is kind of stepping outside of the life of Peter and kind of into the shoes of Jesus who we're called to imitate. Is there someone that you need to speak the restoring words of Jesus to? Then it calls you to do that this week. So somebody that you know who's down from their sin or struggling that you can look at and you can say, hey, you know, Jesus knows that you love him. He sees your struggle. He wants to offer you forgiveness and hope for a better day moving forward.
Yeah, it's good. Well, I appreciate your time, Brian, in investing into our leaders and our special guest who was with us earlier, Jeffrey.
Yes.
And so before we wrap our time, let me point you and remind you, if you are an 8 o'clock or 10:45 life group leader, or maybe you're a 9:15 or off-campus life group leader who is unable to participate in the replant serve day that we had a few weeks ago, we have a new one that's coming up on July the 13th. And so leaders, let me encourage you to keep that in front of your group, encouraging them to participate. We'll be reaching out to you, talking about, you know, projects and things of that nature. So you can look to Kyle. We'll be reaching out to you 8 o'clock and 10:45 life group leaders. So he'll be touching base with you as we get closer to that serve day. So
fantastic. Matt, you're gone after this one, man. We're going to miss you.
I get the privilege. Liberty has given me the privilege of being on sabbatical for the month of July. So Kyle will sit in this seat during the next 4 weeks to guide the podcast. And I will miss being here, but looking forward to being back. Actually, we'll step back in on August the 1st, and we'll record on August the 1st.
Boom. So. There you go. Welcome back.
So
that's awesome.
Again, thank you, Brian, and leaders. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday.